You might want to turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy and chapter 4. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy word, thy love letter. Deal with us that we would have the benefit and all that enables us to proceed looking to you, having you take care of us all the way, even so come. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart, command, and keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues. The word issue is more going forth. Out of the heart comes all of your life, out of your heart. Now, we have a mind, we use our mind, our intellect, our understanding, etc. And we do all those things. So it's very possible for us to be intellectually whatever and have all of those things. But when it's done, it may not be coming from our heart. Our heart involves the centerpiece. And when it comes out of the heart, that's the center. So when it comes out of there, that's where it is. The heart's where it is. We can say a lot of things and sing a lot of things and do a lot of things that aren't out of the heart. But when it comes out of the heart, that's where you is. Now, having said that, and in the light of our looking at history and where it's going, in the light of our study of Matthew, I'm going to go back and have a little trip going forward so you can see how we get there. So in Deuteronomy and chapter 4, remember, this is the 40th year. 38, 39 years ago, they were at Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, all of this happened. The 40th year, Moses is going to disappear. God's going to take him. They're going to cross the Jordan. And so, it's rehearsing all of four books from Leviticus and Numbers, Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, rehearsing all of that wonderful truth and refreshing their mind. Now, God has us understand in Deuteronomy chapter 5 what we don't understand in Exodus chapter 20, the giving of the law. So it's going to fill in the pieces. So as we fill in the pieces, chapter 5, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 4. 5 and 4 of Deuteronomy. The Lord, remember now, this is the people that were there at Mount Sinai when God introduced himself. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount, out of the midst of the fire. A very special, awesome time. Awesome time. God is to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and now Israel. And God introduced himself personally to them. Chapter 5, sliding over, as you know, in a verse all over the place, but just without reading it all. Verse 22, these words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them, God did, he wrote them on two tables, tablets of stone, and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, said Moses, even all the heads of your tribes and elders. And what did they want? What was the problem? Verse 24. And he said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory, his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth. Now that's a whole nation exposed directly to God. Now that's awful hard to say they're dreaming, because that's not so. And so what did they want? Well, they didn't, verse 25. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. Awesome. God's awesome person. And they aren't equipped, they aren't of the heart to be able to stand before his person, to listen to his person. Therefore, sliding down, they didn't want to hear it anymore, verse 25. And therefore, Moses is to go, verse 27, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear and do it. Same old thing in Exodus chapter 19, verse 8. We're still going to do whatever God, but we don't want to talk to God, listen to God, but we'll follow him since he's God. Sliding down, the point, the problem. What is the problem that makes this? Verse 29. Oh, that there was such an heart in them that they would hear, fear me, and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. They had no heart. They got to have a heart. Out of the heart come all the issues of life. Got to have a heart. We do a lot of things without a heart, without no heart in it. You can get married with no heart. Do all kinds of things with no heart. Now, so therefore, having said no heart, now keep that in mind. That was their problem. It's an age-old problem. Now, God, you knew they had no heart, even when you gave the Ten Commandments and all of that. And God knows, but God's out to save and whosoever that would believe. Therefore, chapter 4, remember, they're going to go into tribulation ultimately, but God clues them in. They haven't gone anywhere yet. He clues them in on how it's going to go and what they need to do. So when we come to chapter 4, finding verse 28, remember, they're going to be scattered. God's going to Assyrian captivity, Babylonian captivity, etc. That's in the future. Verse 28, and there, when you're there, I got to read verse 27. The Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whether the Lord will lead you. Verse 28. And there you shall serve our gods, the work of idols and idolaters, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence, when you're scattered and in captivity, away from Jerusalem, etc., but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If you seek him with all your heart, and with all your soul. They didn't have it at Mount Sinai. No heart, no heart. That was their problem. But God said the journey you're going to take is going to be an awesome one in the sense. You're going to be high and going to get clobbered by nation after nation. Within and without, you're going to have problems. So therefore, tribulation's going to come, verse 30. When thou art in tribulation, remember the great tribulation is there to save them, to get them to awaken Israel. When thou art in Israel, when thou art in tribulation, all these things that come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, thou shalt be obedient unto his voice. Verse 31, the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, nor destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, which he sware unto them. Now God's going to keep his word. Now, having said that, they didn't have a heart. They needed to have a heart. If they seek God with all their heart, over to chapter 6, Deuteronomy in chapter 6. What was Israel to understand? Verse 4, 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. God is one and three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. the Elohim. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day, where are they going to be? They're going to be in thy heart, shall be in thine heart. So God, here we are looking, God's going to do a wonderful thing in the heart. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 11. Going through history now, and see how it goes. And remember David. David had a, well, he did all of these things. And David had a heart for God, that's why God chose him. David said, I want to honor God's heart, with all my heart. That's what David wanted. And God honored it. And David is God's special man, among others. Now, 1 Kings chapter 11 and in verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away. What did they turn away? His heart. That's the trouble. Solomon, you were all right. You wanted wisdom. You wanted all this stuff. And I gave it to you like no one else ever had to understand anything. Ants, bugs, stars, whatever. I gave it to you. But you had no heart. You had no heart. Now, verse 4. That his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the, what, heart of David. Aha, that's God's standard, heart. Out of the heart come all the issues of life. The heart of David, his father. Wow, chapter 12. So Solomon comes along, dies, and the kingdom is divided. And in the process, chapter 12, and in Jeroboam is made king of the 10 tribes in the north. And in the process, chapter 12, may I pick up, please, you'll catch it. Just grab it as it goes. Jeroboam, you're all concerned that they're all going to go down there and go to Jerusalem to worship. And what kind of king are you going to be when they all go down there to Rehoboam, down to Jerusalem, when it comes to church time to worship? That's not going to work. So Jeroboam, verse 26, He said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. That's his heart. It's just out of it. You're going to make decisions from your heart. That's right. And the people, so what do they do without reading that? What a wonderful little section that tells us. He substituted everything and anything in place of everything that was there. The feast, the priest, the band, and Bethel and Dan in the north, all of those wonderful things. He substituted everything they had in Jerusalem to worship, priest and everything, he redid it, disconnected from God. He did it on his own steam. He made people what they weren't just to do it, to have power. Now, having said that, over in that's Jeroboam, the divided kingdom. The divided kingdom leads to the 10 tribes in the north. The 10 tribes in the north are going to go into the Assyrian captivity eventually, and then to the Babylonian captivity, the 2 tribes in the south. Over, if you would, to Isaiah. And in Isaiah, and picking up, please, in chapter 6. Isaiah in chapter 6. And you recall, here's the 10 tribes in the north. They're all going to go into captivity. The 10 tribes in the north are run by Jeroboam, the first king. They're all way off. No kings, no priests, no nothing. Prophets, Amos and them, tried to help them. Isaiah, trying to help them. Now, God, I'm interested in your encouraging Isaiah, who's going to go, and you know the wonderful context, chapter 6 and verse 8. Isaiah said, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." So Jeremiah volunteered that God said, "Is there anyone that would like to go? And I have an assignment for them." And Isaiah said, "Yes, I'll do it." And verse 9. And the Lord answered him and said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Go tell them, but they're hearing, but they aren't hearing. They're seeing, but they're not seeing." Verse 10. Make the heart of this people fat, waxed, dull. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. That's what I want you to do. And Isaiah said, "Well, that sounds like a wonderful assignment," said the 10 tribes in the north especially. "So therefore," God, he says, understandably, "then said I, Lord, how long? How long am I going to do this and before I see some results, etc.?" And then God, his history, here's Isaiah. He's going to minister to those people, to the people of Israel, for 40 years. After 40 years, what have you got to show for it? Like my tissue. How much is on it? Nothing. You're going to have nothing. Nothing. Whoa! You want that assignment? You're going to do it? You're going to get nothing. After 40 years. Okay. Verse 11. "Then said I, Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there is a great forsaking in the midst of the land." Wow. Now that's Isaiah. Now God tells you what's going to happen to them, looking prognosis, looking at ahead. He tells you what's going to happen. Now, having said that little bit, go over with me. 136 years go by or so, sliding along over to Jeremiah. That's the 10 tribes in the north went into captivity, the Assyrians. So now I'm sliding along. The two tribes in the south are still there, and Nebuchadnezzar's going to get them. So in looking at it, Jeremiah, and in chapter 8, Jeremiah in chapter 8, and picking up, if I may, in chapter 8, you will note, I'm going to start, if I can, in verse 14. Why do we sit still, assemble ourselves, and let us enter into the defense cities, and let us be silent there? In other words, they know Nebuchadnezzar's coming. They know they're going to be taken captive. They need to go and to make some effort to fix things, but they aren't. So therefore, verse 14 again, let us enter into the fenced cities. Let us go where there's a fortress, a wall to protect us. Let us be silent there, quiet, not make a lot of noise. I mean, we aren't hoopla. It isn't a good thing. We aren't in good spirits because we aren't in good shape. And let us be silent there, for the Lord, our God, hath put us to silence, and given us the water of gall to drink. because we have sinned against the Lord. Now, verse 15, we looked for peace, but no good came for a time of health, and behold, trouble. Wow. And the Assyrians are coming in, think of it, Nebuchadnezzar, I should say. In verse 16, the snorting of the horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in the city and those that dwell therein. But there's nothing we can do. Nebuchadnezzar had a huge army, as they did in that day, and they can't do anything. They're coming in to ruin us. Verse 17, behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which shall not be charmed. And in other words, you can't tell them to snake, please don't bite me. And they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint within me. There's no way to stop this. No. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? No. Why? They aren't believing. Why have you provoked me to anger with your graven images, your idols, idolatry, and with strange vanities? Point. The harvest is past. Summer is ended. And we are not saved. That's interesting because we're at the end of the summer, and we're moving to the next thing. That's interesting. The summer is ended. And, verse 20, summer's ended and we are not saved. Think of the world system, hell-bent and hell-bound on where it's going. Not even an interest in turning around. No, sir. Now, verse 21. And the hurt of the daughter of my people, and I hurt, I am black and astonished, astonishment hath taken hold of me. I have no balm. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why aren't we healed? Why aren't we recovered? Why aren't we converted? Why don't we turn around? Why don't we fix anything? Now, God, you gave the prognosis. You gave the prognosis of where it was going. Now, back over to where we were, Matthew chapter 11. And just picking up that mood again in the same sequence. Matthew chapter 11. Remember, our Lord is ministering in Galilee, the northern part of Palestine. And in the process of that, you will know, please. What's happening? John the Baptist was preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They rejected John the Baptist, put him in prison, and killed him, ultimately. Our Lord Jesus picked up the same theme. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king was saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, if you would take it. Verse 19 of chapter 11, they rejected John the Baptist. They rejected the Lord Jesus. They just rejected him. They didn't want anything to do with him. Verse 20, then began he to upbraid these cities, the cities, wherein most of thy mighty works were done, because they repented not. They didn't want to hear anything. Miracles, the feeding, all of it, awesome, awesome, awesome events. Wow, but there was no changing. And you can read down as we did last time, 22, but I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Verse 23, and thou Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven, though thou be brought down to hell, or Hades, Sheol, for if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. In other words, Sodom would have been better off than you guys, because you guys turned and rejected God directly. The king. You rejected the king. Now, who is the king, like we shared this morning? He's God. Hang on. Now, so in the light of that, over if you would please, chapter 12. And continuing the judgment on the people of Israel. And here we have all of the judgment. In other words, he's Lord of lords and King of kings. He's the Lord of the Sabbath, etc. But they reject him. He's Lord. But they don't want him to be Lord of anything. So therefore I come to chapter 12. And may I pick up, please, what are they going to say? Well, they're going to say, verse 24, I should say, 12 and 24. And when the Pharisees heard it, is not this the son of David? Verse 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons. Remember, one devil, many demons. But by Beelzebub, the prince of the devil, the prince of the demons. And now Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And against Satan, sliding down verse 27. For if I by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, the devil, cast out demons, if I'm casting out demons and I'm the head of it, what kind of boss is that? You're killing your company. You can't go and cast out everyone. If I'm be the devil, why would I cast out and ruin my power, ruin my kingdom? I wouldn't do that. Verse 27. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Verse 28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Now, sliding down, it goes, and what? How were they doing? They were rejecting the king, the Spirit of God's direct ministry. So when I come to verse 30, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me is scattereth abroad. So you're either going to be with God or against God. Verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin, blasphemy, should be forgiven unto you men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven. You can't go and turn. You've been given light, the fullness of light, and you refuse to see. You refuse, you close your eyes and block your ears and turn your heart off. When you go against maximum light, there is nothing left. When you go against the Spirit of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in all of the power, all of his miracles, verse 32. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. It's one thing for us to do dumb things, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost directly, and that was something you couldn't repeat again exactly, because the Lord Jesus Christ was there in his literal human body. It shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come. So things aren't going very good. Bad, down, down. Now, chapter 13. And in chapter 13, you would recall, why is he speaking to him in parables? Remember, we did all that. And so we come, and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, the believers, they're being exposed to it. God is helping them understand. And we shared together last time, verse 12, whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more. Abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. So you're going to lose. If you don't keep growing and knowing, it's going to go. It isn't going to play. Do it another way that may help you. It isn't very good. But if you're running a race, and you're running the marathon, whatever, 26, whatever it is, miles, and you're running the marathon, and you go down the marathon 5 miles. And that's wonderful, you could go 5 miles. But to be qualified, to be a qualified person in the race, and to complete the race, you have to get to the end. They don't get to the end. And therefore, they lose the race. They went 5 miles, but so that was wonderful. But we didn't get anything. You didn't finish it. You could at least finish it, maybe. The more you have, the more you get. That we did all those in Proverbs and that. The wise man gets wiser. The person who wants to know knows and gets more knowledge. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's when you're going to school. You're going to school. When I go to school, I wanted to learn. I don't know. I know you all did. And so when you went, I went to school. I wanted to learn. That's what I wanted to do. And I was there to sit in a class to make sure I was. I didn't want to miss school. That was when school was school, you understand? That was when education was education. Reading, writing, and arithmetic and good stuff. Not today. But we did that. And you wanted to learn. I want to learn. I don't want to miss anything. Teacher's going to show me the next step. I want to be there to pick up the next step, to see how to do it. Now, so God, the more you learn, the more you learn. Now, sliding over if I can, in the light of that, now God says, verse 13, Therefore I speak to them in parables. Why are you speaking to them in parables? Because, reason, verse 13, They seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. The word understand means to bring together the pieces to make a whole. All the different parts and all the different syllables in a word, all the different numbers to add up to put it together. They don't see, they don't hear, and they don't understand. That's the diagnosis. Looking at Israel, the Lord looking out at the people. This nation doesn't see as a nation, doesn't hear, doesn't understand. Now, God, you're going to say what? I want you to know, I predicted this. I gave a prognosis of what would happen to Israel long ago. I made a prognosis. And that's when you have Isaiah chapter 6. Which we read. How long am I going to have to do this? Till the cities are wasted, etc. Now, why are you going to do it? So God gives a prognosis. And verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall not see, and shall not perceive. I gave a prognosis of what would happen. I said that, and now it's all going to be. It's all going to be there and all going to work out in an awesome way. That's what's going to be. That's how it is. That's where they are. I told you what it's going to be like. Now, having said that, let me just go in case so we don't lose it here. I'm going to go back to Isaiah's day, if you can just follow with me. Here's Isaiah's day, way back there. And in Isaiah chapter 6, God predicts all that's going to happen to Israel. All the way, Deuteronomy 4, tribulation's going to be there, and that's what's going to awake, cause Israel to wake up. So, having said that, now, and then we just read in Matthew chapter 13, in the Lord's day, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king is at hand, but they're rejecting the king and the kingdom. They don't want the king and the kingdom. They don't want his righteousness, etc. They don't want to come to the Father. They don't want to do that. They don't even understand that. So therefore, we go a little further, and we come to our Lord's minister. That's up to there. And our Lord, John the Baptist, is killed, etc. And the Lord continued his ministry for 3 1/3 years. He does that. Now, over to John chapter 12. John and chapter 12. And you will pick up again and in John chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 37. The Lord Jesus, but 12 and 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not in him. They don't believe. They John the Baptist, and they got rid of him. And now the Lord Jesus continues his direct ministry. He doesn't say the kingdom of heaven is at hand now. No, he just gives his miracles and all those things to tell him, his credentials. And therefore, verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah, are you going to quote this again? Yes, because it predicted, gave a prognosis of Israel all the way down the line. When's Israel going to get there? Not yet. Not yet. Therefore, verse 38, then that's it, the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, verse 40, he hath blinded their eyes, hardened their heart, purpose, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. The word convert is to be turned. They didn't want to be turned. I would have healed them. I'm standing there. Remember what you read in Jeremiah? Is there no physician in Gilead? Is there no doctor? The doctor's there waiting at the emergency room for you to come through the door. And you don't come through the door. Why didn't you come through the door? To God. Be converted and I should see. These things, verse 41, saith Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Now that's our Lord. He quotes it and quotes it and quotes it. This Isaiah chapter 6, repeated, because it's the history of Israel. So don't get too excited of everything's going to work out. No, it has to finish its course. Over, if you would please, to Acts chapter 28. The book of Acts in chapter 28. The Apostle Paul tells us, in the light of it, using it, so the Lord, John's ministry, our Lord's ministry, the Apostle Paul's ministry, same results. Results in the attitude and of the world generally is rejection. Chapter 28 and in verse 22. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. That's Christianity, etc. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, and to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Verse 24. And some believed the things which are spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. What was his word? Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah. There you're quoting it again. There you go. Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For, verse 27, the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, turned, and I should heal them. But be it known, therefore, unto you, that, because of this, the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, Jews, any whosoever can get saved, but now in particular to the Gentiles, God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear. And that's why we're sitting here. That's why we're sitting here. Now, God, you did all of that. And where are you going to go from there? Timothy, what do you know? All of those things. God, men are going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of self. They don't want to hear. They got itching ears, Timothy. They don't want to hear anything. They don't want to know anything. They're going to keep going. Jude, all judgment. Peter, judgment. Apostasy, judgment. All the way down the line until our Lord comes. So, till the tribulation. That's going to be. You want to know the path? Want to know why? Isaiah chapter 6. He said, I told you how it's going to go, without even guessing. And the centerpiece is Israel. Israel is the center. The church is a bunch of bodies of whosoever's that are saved to show the grace of God in a most extraordinary way. Wonderful. But Israel is the key. And Israel is where it is. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, chapter 13 of Matthew. And you will note, please, we read together in chapter 13 that our Lord told, because the reason the parables is because they seeing, see not, etc., hearing. And that is not some new message. That is a new condition. No, it's an old problem that never gets answered. And Isaiah, he quotes Isaiah, etc., sliding to verse 15. Therefore, the diagnosis of the people, verse 15, For this people's heart is waxed gross, very gross, etc. The people's heart is waxed gross, fat, dull, stupid. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they don't want it to happen. They don't want it to happen, though. Never. Lest at any time they shall see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, turned. I would turn them. They don't want to be turned. And the end of verse 15, I should heal them. I'm waiting to heal them. I'm the physician. Waiting to heal them. Verse 16. Blessed are your eyes. Now they're all there. We looked at the negative. It's all out there. But for the believing heart, for them and for the believing heart, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things, which you see and have not seen them, to hear the things which you hear and have not heard them. We are privileged. We're way ahead. We're way ahead of Paul in the sense that we're down on this end of it, the end of the age of grace. So we not only know it, can read it, understand it, we are experiencing it. Wow. Now God said, you're blessed. Wonderfully, wonderfully blessed. Now, having said that, over if you would to pick up the thought, you got to turn. You got to turn around, be converted. You got to turn around, literally turn around. Come to the physician. We dread it. They will not come. Why not? Why don't you want? Because your eyes are blocked, your ears are blocked, eyes are blocked. Your understanding mind, you don't want to put the pieces together. They're all there. All the pieces are there for the puzzle, if you ever want to put them together. Now, therefore, over, if you would please, over to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians and chapter 3. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you're looking at the verb to be converted. To be converted, to be turned. Converted, turned. Okay. How's that work out? And be healed. I would heal them. God said, I myself would heal them. Now, chapter 3, 2 Corinthians, picking up, if I can, about Moses. And verse 13, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished, etc. Now, verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, unbelief, taken away, the veil still sits there, untaken away, in the reading of the Old Testament. So they can read the Old Testament, memorize the Old Testament, but what could that do if it isn't from your heart? Think of Psalm 119. Thy word have I hid, where? In thy heart. Not in your head. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Because out of it, that's where all the ball game is. That's where you really is, in the heart. Out of the heart. That's why we receive Christ into our heart. We don't receive him into our, and your heart, literally, your heart, the pump, here it is, going, is somewhat working, and the process, whatever it's doing. It's sending blood and oxygen and everything, cleaning every part of your body with all the capillaries and everything, cleaning it and feeding it and taking care of it in every part of your body. Wow! Your heart. You don't want to be without your heart. Out of the heart come the issues of life. Spiritually, physically, mentally, I should say. Now, so therefore, picking up in verse 15, chapter 4 and verse 15. Nevertheless, when it, the heart, end of verse 15, the veil is upon the heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Aha! The veil shall be taken away. Now, how's it going to be taken away? Chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined. You received the Lord as your Savior. He's the light of the world. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined where? In our heart. In our heart. Shined in our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, where is that? In the face and person of Jesus Christ, whom you received as your Savior. Back over to chapter 3. You got to turn to God with your heart. Receive him into your heart. Verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, wonderful freedom. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we keep looking to God. Remember, the more you get, we just read it in Matthew chapter 13, verse 12. The more you know, the more you will know. If you don't want to know anymore, you won't. And you'll lose even what you have. We shared all those things. Now, so therefore, what are we got? We're going to be changed. So the more we look, the more we change. The more we grow, the more we know. The more we know, the more we grow. It's just happened just the way it is. The more I want, the more I want. I want more. What I understand, I need more to complete. More and more and more and more and more. See? So it is. Lots of people quit early. But when you hang in there, you don't want to lose it. I want to get to the next stage. If you don't allow your body to develop and grow, then you won't get there. The first grade needs to get the second grade, the fourth grade. Got to keep going. And what do you do when you get all through? You retire when you get through high school? Do you retire? No. Well, then you're going to go a little more school, okay. Are you going to retire? Long time ago, a roommate, and I had to tell you, he went to school. He was a dear person. He went to school, I think he was still going to school, last time I knew. He's been going to school forever. Wow. Now, so therefore, the more you know, the more you're going to grow. You turn, convert to the vicious position. Is what he's going to heal you. All of that's going to happen. Closing, over if you would please. To 1 Thessalonians. And 1 Thessalonians, if I can. Chapter 1. Remember, the Thessalonians are a marked people because they were saved in a most wonderful way. Verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and much assurance. As you know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake. In other words, they hid the gospel given to them by the people that were saved. And the people that were saved knew they were saved. And they shared, they knew it. So when they believed, they got saved. And in the process, they did such a wonderful thing. Sliding over their faith, the disbelieving, it got known all over the place in northern Greece, all over and elsewhere. They got saved. They knew the people down there in Thessalonica, in that assembly. Boy, do you know those people are saved people? Saved people. Wow, they're believers. Like in First Corinthians 14, of a truth, God is there in that place. Wow. Now. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. What did you do, Paul? Remember Paul, we read in Acts 28. Paul said, I'm going to go to the Gentiles. What happens when you went to the Gentiles in northern Greece? Oh, well, they got saved. How do you mean they got saved? Chapter 1, verse 9, the end of the verse. How they turned, that's the word converted, how they turned, converted to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Wow. And so here we are. That's what they did. They turned to God. They got saved. The Israelites at this point in history so far, Israel's going where it's going, not very good at the moment, but it all has to happen the way it is, and you have to stand back and look at it from heaven's point of view, what's happening. If you look at it from earth's point of view, you think of all ways to do things and to avoid things, but it isn't working out that way. Nope, not working out that way. It's just happening. So all you can do is look to God and see it. And be a witness to God. God has a plan. Here's the plan. I didn't make the plan. You didn't make the plan. God made the plan. God's in charge of all the nations. The devil is the god of the nations, but God is over and outworking all his, allowing him to outwork his plan. Therefore, chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and two things. Verse 9, again, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So God, here we are, looking to take of the Lord's table, being mindful of the fact that God, we've been saved. And like it said in Matthew 13, 16, blessed are you, for your eyes see and your ears hear. And you want to understand. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Mm-hmm. What? We know what? We're in the grace of God. looking, and God's going to follow it up with wrath, be told us. And in closing, again, just verse 16, we did it this morning. A command, present tense. Rejoice, be thankful, count it all joy. Count it all joy in what you do. A little while, we did it. A little while this morning, a little while. Just a little while. You know, I'm coming. I told you I'm coming. A little while. And we read it. Now, God, what are you going to say? I'm coming. Now, what are we going to say with communion? Come. When you end the Bible, chapter Revelation, verse 20, the Lord Jesus, he said, I testify, here's this book of Revelation, I testify it, tell you it, and by the way, I'm coming, present tense, I'm coming. And the response should be from the people like us, believers, that come to the end of the Bible, even so, verse 20, even so come. That's what you say. God's doing it. Wow. Turn and be converted. I'm waiting to fix everything in your heart and head. So, as we look, we'll pray. Our Father and God, set apart all of the minutes that lie ahead, and we'll thank you for all of it as we try to be mindful of your wonderful grace. In Christ's name, amen.